This is the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show.
By Horvat, backhand pass in front, Pearson going to the goal, being hounded by Bear. Stop by Koskinen, rebound, they score! Nils Höglander with his first NHL goal, and Vancouver takes a 2-1 lead in the final 3 minutes of the second period.
With the instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Comes down low, here's Besser all alone in front, he scores! Brock Besser in behind the Oilers' defense, gets his first of the year, and it's a 2-goal lead for Vancouver on the road. They're up 4-2. Here's Besser with a chance down the right wing, into the Oilers' zone, he scores! Brock Besser beats Mikko Koskinen over the glove for his second of the night.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Canucks win 5-3 to open the season in Edmonton over the Oilers. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker, going to be joined by Corey Hirsch. A lot of coverage coming up. You want to grab a phone line? You can do so. 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. You can also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. What impressed you the most tonight? What are you most excited about? We're here to talk to you. And Walks, it was a bit of a wonky game, but an elite display from the Canucks youngsters of craft, will, and skill tonight.
Yeah, so the first period was a little more of a lockdown. You know, it didn't necessarily remind us of what we saw with Philly and Pittsburgh, what we saw with the Leafs and the Habs. Then the game eventually turned into that. It was a little more wide open, and there was space, and there was chances. I mean, you fast forward to 25 games from now, I don't know if you're getting that many quality chances in a hockey game. So it did morph a little bit more into a preseason feel. But the Canucks can play that way. I mean, it's not very often you're going to hold McDavid and Dreisaitl pretty much off the board. So big thanks to Braden Holtby for that. But Quinn Hughes ended up making a couple big-time plays. Elias Pettersson made a big-time play in the third period. And, you know, one of the big stories was Brock Besser. He doesn't need a lot of room to bury it. And two goals tonight and two excellent finishing opportunistic shots. It's been a while, I think, since we've seen a performance like that from Brock Besser. There's a lot of goals playing with Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes just sitting for you there if you can get in the right spots and shoot it.
And you talked about that and about Brock Besser scoring in this game. And we're going to get to that in a second, in addition to a text message, which has a very specific question for you, Andrew. But also, you also mentioned at the end of the second period, after the second period, during the intermission, Elias Pettersson has had a quiet game, so has Brock Besser, but all they really need is one or two moments in the third. Elite players find a moment and they rise to it. They do something to help you win the game. And you saw that with that bang pass from Elias Pettersson and, of course, Brock Besser with the two goals.
Yeah, that was on 100% on purpose. That wasn't just firing it in in his direction. That is, you know, banking it away from the defenseman's stick and going kind of inside out for Brock Besser and sending him in alone. I mean, that's a excellent play from both those guys on the back end leading it up to Brock Besser. But listen, he couple goals for him. Pettersson was fairly quiet, but a big play when they needed him. And I thought Bo Horvat had a great game. And it's amazing what happens, right? You get a goal from Höglander and a huge goal from Adam Gaudette after the Oilers had tied it really early in that third period. So you get a couple of secondary scorers chipping in, and you end up with five on the board.
Let's bring Corey Hirsch into the conversation. Canucks beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-3 in Edmonton to open up the season with a 1-0 record. Hirschy, fun being back in the saddle calling that game?
It was good. It was it's good to be back. The hockey game was, I guess the best word I could probably come up with is sloppy. it was fun to watch. I'm glad the Canucks won, but it just that looked like a two teams that hadn't played in 6 months. It really did. But the best players came through at the end, and Pettersson and Hughes and Besser, right? So I was thinking tonight during the game that this has got to be Pettersson's team moving forward now. You know, I know Bo Horvat's the captain, but this has to be Pettersson's team moving forward. He's got to be the guy that they're going to lean on, and he was great tonight.
Well, and at the end of the day, and it comes in, it boils down to this a lot of the times, but it's who's going to make more saves. And in a game where Dreisaitl had chances, McDavid had chances,
yeah,
Yamamoto had chances, and the Canuck stars had chances, and Holtby was able to make the big saves at the big time. 5-3, you wouldn't necessarily call it a goalie's duel, but Braden Holtby's a huge reason they won a game like this.
You hit it right on the head. Like all the scoring chances where Edmonton had all alone. Like you know, Connor McDavid was in all alone a couple times. Shots from, you know, the slot, and that the difference was is the Canucks. You know, Koskinen didn't come up with those saves, and Braden Holtby did. And kudos to the Canucks, you know, brass for what they did and going and signing Holtby, because Edmonton stayed status quo. And I know it's only game one, but that was the difference between 2 points tonight was is one team went out and got a goalie and shored up their goaltending, and the other team didn't. And Edmonton's been, they've been complaining for years about their goaltending, but yet they don't do anything about it to get rid of the problem. And the Canucks did, and they got 2 points because of it.
Well, they did, and what really stood out to me, Hershey, tonight was in a game that was sloppy, a bit wonky, as to be expected when you only had 7-8 days of training camp, only a couple scrimmages, not a lot of practice time, and straight to a regular season intensity type of game. So it was pretty sloppy in that context, but elite-level skill stood out. Big moments stood out. Like, you know, whether it was Pettersson making the bank pass to Besser, and Besser with that snipe. I mean, that snipe was straight out of his rookie season. I mean, that thing was a rocket, a laser, picks the top corner. Beautiful shot from Brock Besser. Bo Horvat did his thing as well, of course. I saw Naismith have some great moments. But then Quinn Hughes. I mean, Quinn Hughes did more sitting on his ass than I did in all my high school in math class, right? Like, that's incredible what Quinn Hughes made on that play.
You know what? And what I like is they got better as the game went on, right? The better players got better as the game went on. That's what you saw, right? You see the young guys and,
sure,
and some of the players early. They've got the energy. They've got the jump. But it was Hughes and Pettersson that, you know, got better as the game went on.
Yeah. I got to stop you, Hershey. Sorry, man. But we have head coach Travis Green on the podium.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Man, that was a good start to the season. You know, I like how we responded at certain parts of the game. Obviously, when they scored, we bounced back. And it's a nice win.
How good do you feel for Nils Höglander and his first career goal? And what did you think of his performance individually overall tonight?
It's always nice when you see a young guy score his first goal, especially in his first game. Yeah, he was really good tonight. He was strong both ends of the rink, strong on the puck, made some nice plays. You know, very happy with his game.
Next up is Thomas Drantz.
Travis, when you get a performance like that from a first-year player, does it almost feel like found money?
Yeah, a little bit, actually, because you're not quite sure. You know, there's even sometimes when you're giggling a little bit inside. He made some really nice plays today that – you wondered, you know, you see a guy in practice, see a guy in scrimmage. You wonder how he'll react to, you know, regular season games. And I thought he raised his game. He was good tonight.
And I want to ask you about your other first-year player in Oli.
Yeah.
You went right back with him after the Yamamoto goal. Ends up playing over 10 minutes. In relying on a young defender, even if he is playing a third pair role, how do you balance needing to be patient with, you know, what you need from him in terms of contributions to your club?
Well, Bomber that put him right back out there. It wouldn't have been me. And it was, it's, you know, Bomber's smart that way. He knows that he wants to keep his confidence high. I actually thought it was close to being a penalty actually on him. But I think it's important when a young guy makes, if you want to call it a mistake, to get him back out there and keep his confidence. I thought he was solid. You know, quietly solid, goes about his game, about his business, smart, played well.
Next up is Jeff Patterson.
Travis, you talked about the response of your hockey club, and I think the most important one was right after the Nurse goal to tie it at two. I mean, 10 seconds into the third can be a little bit of a shock to the system, but you didn't even wait 2 minutes and you were able to restore the lead. I mean, how important was that Gaudette goal to sort of set the table for what was to come?
It was. You know, it was – you got a 2-1 lead going into the third. All of a sudden it's 2-2. So, but we've talked to our team. We want to be a team that just plays every shift, responds after goals, and you know, we don't play indicative to the score. So it was nice to get a response right away and get the lead back.
How encouraging all of your goals 5-on-5. You had a dynamic power play last season, and I'm sure it will come in time, but to get off to the kind of start you did with 5 even strength goals tonight.
Yeah, that doesn't happen a lot. You know, usually when you get 5, you get a couple that are on the power play. So, you know, you talk about playing with the house's money. That's nice when you get even strength goals. And, you know, again, it was a good team win tonight.
Next up is Ben Kuzma.
Travis, every team likes to have a dagger that it can unleash on the opposition. You talked about Brock Besser's game in training camp and in the scrimmages and how he's looking good. His shot seems to be there. But tonight, I mean, 2 quick releases, and I think the velocity and the accuracy of that we've seen in the past was certainly back here tonight. What did you make of his night?
Yeah, good game by Bess. I mean, pretty well everyone on our team I thought played well, but talked about that a couple days ago. I think he's worked on his shot. He's worked on his release. You know, even the second goal, I don't know if he scores that goal a year ago. Just his release points a little, he can change it a little bit better. And but it's not just the goals. I thought his two-way game was solid tonight. He's really learned the importance of different areas of the rink and willing to work in those areas as well.
Next up is Vic Nizar.
Travis, did anything change for you in that third period for guys like Besser and Pedersen, or is it just a case of eventually star players will get their chances and start burying them?
I don't think anything changed. I just thought they played. Sometimes things open up as the game goes on. Both teams get a little tireder, and that's when you got to watch for breakdowns on your own team and hopefully take advantage if there are any on the others. But I thought he was good the whole game. That line was good.
And with the last question for Travis, it's Farhan Lalji.
Travis, first of all, just the play of Braden Holtby. You looked like he was solid when you needed him. What'd you make of his first game as a Canuck?
Really good. Yeah. I mean, this guy's a good goalie. You know, to win, he's already done a lot of things in the league. I thought he looked great.
How about Travis Hamonic? You know, he took the 2 penalties against McDavid, but overall, first game in 10 months. What were your thoughts?
Solid. That's, you know, people from the outside, they don't know how hard it is just to step into the NHL. He's had 2 practices, no training camp, hasn't played a game in 10 months. As a coach, you're a little bit worried. It's hard not to be, but you got to trust when you talk to a player, and he felt like he was ready to roll. Plus, he's a veteran guy. He understands maybe he's got to be a little safer. I thought he looked good tonight. He'll only get better day by day. Once he gets a few more skates under his belt, a few more games.
Thank you.
That is Canucks head coach Travis Green after a 5-3 victory in Edmonton over the Oilers. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. That's your show with Andrew Walker here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. You want to grab a phone line? You can do so now, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. You can also hit us up on our text inbox, courtesy of Dunbar Lumber, 650-650. As he admitted, Walks, Travis giggling inside a little bit about Nils Höglander and the found money he has been.
Yeah, the real MVP was Vic Nizar there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable question.
Question of the year already.
Although he pulled the sat because he didn't unmute his mic, and so I thought he was MIA for a few minutes.
That was a pregnant pause. Like I was nervous for him. I'm like, Travis is going to like.
I was like, start talking.
I haven't been that nervous in a long since the Browns.
I know.
Beat the Steelers.
I'm the same way. I mean, listen, there's so much in a 5-3 win, obviously season opening, and it was wide open. 5-5 on five goals. So a few thoughts. Number one, even though it's like, you're getting your feet wet and guys are, you know, getting used to it. And I didn't love Ole Levy's game today. And I get it. It's game one. It's 10 minutes. It's a rookie. Hasn't played a game forever. And it's not time to panic. But again, the season is shorter. And that means, like, games like this where it's like, it's preseason and it's sloppy and it got away from us, but we'll get them the next night. You can get into trouble early in the season with a few games that you should win that slip away. Last year, the Canucks were in the same situation, right? They had a lead going into the third period in Edmonton. They ended up losing that game. That didn't do them in or anything like that, but you saw how tight things were getting down the stretch, and the season kind of slammed to a halt, but they might have been in or out by 1 point. And those games that you have a lead in the third period, you got to find a way to get it done, lock it down, and they did tonight. So we can say, it's sloppy all we want.
Yeah.
But it was important that they found a way to pull this out. They did. Now, a lot of that was, you mentioned, Hoglander. It's a great story, and he played a really solid game. Like, we didn't see him as much in the third, obviously, but I thought he had jump and energy and created all night and wasn't afraid to be creative. Even in the second period there was the one little play where the pass was behind him and he kind of batted it between his legs. Didn't really get a chance out of it, but he's trying stuff. And a goal, an assist. I mean, you're right. Found money for an organization that lost Tyler Toffoli this offseason and had a vacancy in their top six. And look at it this way too, right? Like, Jake Virtanen is not a real young guy anymore, and people still like get excited when he gets a chance in the top six. That was Hoglander's first game, and he's like
20,
and he did more with that opportunity than a lot of guys do with time after time after time after time. So you got to be impressed. Got to be impressed.
Well, and you know Travis too. Travis won't sit there and, you know, say stuff like that about a youngster unless he really likes him. And he played over 16 minutes tonight.
Yep,
16,
that's,
23.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You know, we saw Pedersen in his debut in a game day one where he scored a goal, played less than 10 minutes. Now, that's also Travis having a better team and having better players around him. And when you have Pearson and Horvat on the same line, you can trust Hoglander out there a lot more, right? Especially with what those guys have done. And to your point, the confidence the team has off the playoffs, it does help you. They looked like a team that had confidence tonight. Even JT Miller being out, they did have a presence about them. Now, I was impressed by that. Bring it back to a lot of your reaction to our text inbox, 650-650, courtesy of Dunbar Lumber. Lots of good reaction. Before we get out, and before we get to the phone calls as well, 604-280-0650, 1-888-275-0650. Torgi has a question for you. How much did you win tonight on betting?
I did throw my bet of the night was Brock Besser to score a goal, and I put $60 on at 3.6. So whatever that is,
that worked out.
Yeah, a couple hundred bucks back.
Not too bad. Well done.
thank you, Brock. I'm going to be very complimentary to Brock Besser this season. Although, listen, I get labeled sometimes as you're too hard on Brock, but it's more of the honestly, kind of like the fatherly, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. He lit the world on fire in his rookie season. He's not been the same guy since, and they need him to be the same guy since. And tonight, I thought he looked like that. Travis Green said in his, I thought the most interesting comment of that post-game sat was when he said, hey, last year, Brock probably doesn't score that second goal. Just a little off.
Yeah.
Right? And tonight, there was no doubt, it was in and out, you couldn't even see it real time. It was a goal scorer's goal, and if that's the Brock that they get, and if he's more on a 30-35 goal pace, that is huge for this team.
And then you're talking about having, you know, potentially four forwards that score in that range. And when you have that, that's That's firepower up front. You can keep that type of pace going up. More of the Canucks Central post-game show coming up, courtesy of Kintech Footwear and Orthotics. 604-280-0650. 650-650 is our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. More right here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now, more of the Kintech Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. Join the discussion. Text us at 650-650 or call us at 604-280-0650. This is the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now here's Besser with a chance down the right wing into the Oilers zone. He scores. Brock Besser beats Mikko Koskinen over the glove for his second of the night.
Brock Besser, a snipe. Haven't seen him shoot the puck that well for a while. Canucks win 5-3 over the Edmonton Oilers to open the season. In the win column, they do lead the North Division now. Alone, 100%. Winning percentage. Hashtag facts only, like Bick Nazar said on Twitter. Satya Shaw, Andrew Walker. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Phone boards are open, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. And also hit us up on our text inbox, Dunbar Lumber 650-650. A lot of reaction walks to our text inbox.
Yeah, it's hopping right now, as it should be after a 5-3 Canucks win, ending the one-game losing streak against the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 7. There's a lot of good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good and a lot of different comments coming in. Wee Dan, I think it's a different Dan. Wee Dan says, JT Miller... missing definitely hinders the team, but I was pleasantly surprised with how Vertanen fit in on the first line. Looks like a very workable Band-Aid until JT makes his way back. Yeah, I mean, I thought that Jake had a pedestrian night. Whatever, it's one game. You definitely miss JT Miller there. I think that's clear. But listen, I'm impressed that they found a way to win this game, and they scored five goals, all of them 5-on-5, without JT Miller, who's arguably their best 5-on-5 player. So it's a lot of good, man.
No, it definitely was in that regard. I mean, Besser's getting lots of love on our text inbox. We talked about it a lot. Yeah. What are your thoughts about Besser? Maybe he has his rookie shot back. It certainly looked like it. Devin is pushing back a bit on your Ylevi criticism. Walk saying Ylevi also had some bright spots. Walks, relax. And I know people on Twitter have been asking you to not be so hard on Olli Ylevi, who made a mistake in the second period.
Yeah. Hey, listen, people get caught up in this. Hey, they won, so everybody played great. And they lost, so everybody played bad. Listen, there was a lot of good tonight, and a lot of goal scorers, and the stars were the stars, and Holtby was terrific. You know, I'm not saying Olli Ylevi almost cost them the game. I thought he made a rookie mistake, which is going to happen on that goal. Listen, Hamonic made mistakes too, and he's a veteran. Like, no big deal. What I wasn't crazy about from Olli Ylevi is that There's a couple of instances where, yeah, he made a bad decision, didn't move the puck quick enough. I just didn't love the mobility. I didn't love the turning. I was always worried. I know it's not easy when you got McDavid and Dreisaitl on the other side, but I was always you talk about confidence. I was always worried that he was going to get walked when he was on the ice, and he did get walked a couple times. So it's one game. It's 10 minutes. It's his NHL debut, really. He played 5 minutes in that playoff game last year. It's by no means over, but there's a long way to go for Olli Ylevi. And we're kind of conditioned to, like, he's here and he's ready to play. He's also the fifth overall pick. Like, there is an urgency from this organization to, you know, make sure that everybody knows that Olli Ylevi can play. It doesn't mean he can. Like, we still have to formulate our opinion on this kid. I didn't love him tonight. And it's not to take away from a great win. It was a great win. That's just what I think.
I actually liked his first period a lot. And you're right about the mobility on certain plays. I will hold judgment until I see him against other competition as well and see as the season goes on. Because you are right. We are in an evaluation period now with Olli Juolevi. Same thing with Nils Höglander. But Höglander was just so impressive tonight.
Yeah,
he just
absolutely
popped off the screen. I mean, it was just so obvious how good he was. And the things we talked about so much, what does he do that can translate to the National Hockey League? For a player who has high skill, he's also very determined, and he knows how to win battles, and he understands how to read off players. Mm-hmm. He has creativity off the half wall as well. But more than anything, he's a kid who's not afraid, to use a hockey cliche, to get his nose dirty. And when you play that style with Horvat and Pearson, and you have skill, and you can make those plays off the boards, it creates another level to that line. And that line really was dominant at times tonight.
Yeah, I like a lot about Höglander, honestly, and I think there's something to be said about how the league is going to catch up to him a little bit in the sense of he's mid-season form. I do think that matters. No one's played preseason games. This kind of looked like a preseason game at times, but that's fine, man. Like, use your jump to create confidence for the rest of the season, and I loved when he would fearlessly initiate contact in the corner with guys like Larson or guys like Nurse. Now, he's not always going to win those battles. When you're smaller, that's the thing. Like, you will get pushed around at times, but he's not a perimeter guy at all.
Not at all. And that's what you need, though, to play on that line and also for Travis Green to trust you in those situations. Let's go to the phone board, 604-280-0650 or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Canucks beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-3 here on Sportsnet 650. Let's go to Jason in Fort Langley. Jason, thanks for calling in, man. What was key for you tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Fort Wayne, and it's... the key for me was penalty kills, not power play. We had one of those, but the penalty kill was huge. Every time you can kill off their power play and make them feel like, man, our top guys didn't get the job done, you can demoralize them a little bit, get the momentum yourself, and that's really what they did in that third period and got to that two-goal lead. And I'll tell you guys what, I haven't forgotten you guys since the playoffs. I called in a lot during the playoffs last year. I still love you guys, and top of the toast is one of the best things I have ever heard on your guys' case.
Hey, Jason, great hearing from you as well. Thanks for listening in and the kind words and the fact that, you know, you still haven't forgotten over the playoff run. And yeah, top of the toast walks, that was Yannick Hansen.
Yannick Hansen, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's a saying or not, but it is now. Yeah, hey, we remember all our callers and those playoff runs, and hopefully there's some exciting games people want to call in this year, and it's a great start. There's a lot to like. I thought the caller mentioned that the penalty kill was huge.
Yeah, I thought Myers had a really good PK shift late, especially in that third period where he had that big shift on the PK. I mean, the Canucks were up 5-3, but you allow a goal at that point with McDavid and Draisaitl buzzing. I thought the PK did have some big moments, especially Myers late in the third.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, listen, when they tied this game at 2 on that Nurse goal, like 2 seconds into the period, you thought, oh, boy, like this one might get away from you. And then when Larson made it 4-3, maybe it's just kind of like, you know, crazy game conditioning, you thought, oh boy, like they're for sure going to tie it at some point. Hopefully
right.
The Canucks have one goal left in them. But they were good on the penalty kill, and the bounce back factor was very good. The Gaudette goal came at a great time. The Besser goal came at a great time where it felt like the game was going in the other direction. Those are big time players making momentum saving plays. And Holtby was a big part of that.
Huge.
As well tonight, man.
Yeah.
He made some huge saves at good times.
Yeah, he did have some big moments, especially, you're right, it wasn't flawless for the Canucks. And yeah, he allowed 3 goals, but I thought Holtby was really sharp tonight. Let's go back to the phone boards. Kareem is on the line, and he called in, and he called his shot early in the game, and he almost got it. Kareem, you said Höglander would score, which he did, and then you said who would assist on the goal?
Pardon me?
You called in earlier, and you made a prediction of who's going to score. And you said
Höglander. I said Horvat's going to get one too, didn't I?
You did.
I did, and so far I was correct.
Well,
hey, boys, I just want to say thanks for having me on always. I always appreciate you guys.
No, man, no problem. Yeah.
I call during the playoff season and everything. I mean, anything for the Canucks, right?
Yeah, attaboy. So what do you think of the game?
I think it was a really good game. I think Holtby really stood out, like, stood on his head for us, kept us in it and everything. I'm just glad Captain Connor didn't score on his birthday.
Yeah.
And rookie Brock Besser is back, guys.
Thanks for the phone call. That's Kareem on the phone boards. And you know what? He did call the shot. He said Bo would get one. He said Hoglander would score. And, you know, you got to give the kid props.
It was a great call, man. It was a great call, and I wish I would have bet on Hoglander to score his first goal in his first game. But I will know that next year for Pod Colson's debut. Absolutely, he's scoring in his first game, as the prophecy foretold, as is tradition. Canucks score in their first games. We know that now. You know, we know that. It's a great debut for him. My biggest takeaway, honestly, was the way that Brock Besser popped. He's been a really frustrating target for me, and I think for a lot of people the last 2 years, because we saw what he did in his rookie season. And he had his post-game address tonight. Well, I'm sure we'll have that audio. But he said, I feel like my shot is back to how it was in my rookie year, and it's been a while.
Yeah.
Travis Green says he probably doesn't score the goal he scored tonight. He probably doesn't score it last year. And, I mean, if you were frustrated with Brock Besser the last couple of years, or the idea of Brock Besser, it validates you a little bit. This is a good player that hasn't really been on top of his game for a couple of years, and it makes a huge difference. And, man, and this game tonight was without JT Miller, who really makes that line go some nights. The Lotto line has the potential to be... It has the potential to be the best line in hockey, man. Certainly the best in this division. And that's with some really good players in this division, you know, whether it's the Matthews line or the McDavid line or the Dreisaitl line or the Scheifele line, and that says a lot.
When you have a line that goes head-to-head, and that's why you should be high on the Canucks' potential as long as they get goaltending and the defense is improved, because they have guys like that. That elite-level talent, I would bet on the elite-level talent as opposed to betting on mediocrity, even if a team has more depth, so to speak. And that's why if the Canucks get a few things going their way, they are a dangerous team in this division. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Don and Chilliwack's on the line. Don, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind tonight after a big Canucks win?
Hey there. How's it going?
Doing well, man.
I was so impressed with Hoglander. I just didn't know what to expect from him being in the NHL. No preseason, so it's like hard to judge what he's going to give. And it was like every time he was on the ice, he was like right in the middle of the play, just giving it his all. I just was so impressed. And then when he got his first goal, wow. And I missed it. I was out of the room for like 2 seconds.
I come back,
and it was like, oh, my God, he scored.
It's called PVR, man. You pause it when you leave the room, and you restart it.
luckily, I could rewind it, and I watched it over again. So. But, no, it was just like he so impressed me.
Yeah, he was outstanding. Thanks for the phone call, Don. That's Don calling in from Chilliwack. And, you know, he made a good point. We did not see him in the preseason, and that's why we're like, okay, well, you got to watch this guy play in an NHL game first before we get a real idea of how he's going to click and what he is truly capable of. And for him to do what he did, I mean, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it almost reminded me of simpler times when you didn't have full access to everything you wanted
right. With
your team,
yes.
Right? And, you know, sometimes you're like, boy, I sure hope that this kid I'm reading about or hearing about is good. You know, can't wait to watch him. And, yeah, you don't have, you know, you don't get a bunch of preseason games. You don't get to watch him at, you know, the prospects tournament in Penticton that's, you know, nationally broadcast. And you know all about this player. And for most people, unless you were watching, you know, the weird stream on the website for an inner squad game, which most people aren't, tonight was the first night you ever saw Nils Hoglander in a Canuck uniform. And he was playing against the Edmonton Oilers on a national broadcast. Like, that's how it used to be back in the day, where you didn't get a billion looks at a player before he even played on your team. So,
and
it's pretty cool.
And it's more breathtaking in that sense, too. When you haven't seen it, and all of a sudden you see it, and it pops, it's exciting. It's as much as people were hyped on him, when you see him do what he did tonight, it adds that extra rush and something, the anticipation, which we almost don't have nowadays with, you're right, all the information we have access to. Let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. Stuart in North Van's on the line. Stuart, thanks for calling in, man. What you got
hey,
for us tonight?
Sat walked. It's been a while. It's good to hear you guys on the post game again. It's like, you know, it's like the playoffs were yesterday, so it feels great to have you guys back on board. Well, hope you guys are well and happy New Year's. I mean, I at first just want to sort of preface it with, you know, again, you know, we all thought that let's just get 2020 out of the way and, you know, 2021, everything's going to be great and dandy. Obviously, while not stupid, we know that there's so much crap still going on. So, again, I called in back in the playoffs and I said that hockey brings that sense of normalcy for a lot of people, especially in Canada. And so something like this right now to start off, I mean, we're starting off the new year with hockey, so this is great. But talking about the game tonight, it looked like the boys still had some wounds that they were licking and they wanted to get off on the right foot right away. You could tell they could still feel the Vegas games. They could still feel the St. Louis in the mini games. They wanted to just hit the ground running. Very impressed with the young guys. I mean, Hoglander, that goal, I think I rewatched that, you know, 10 times. I think I missed, you know, the rest of the period just to watch that guy score. So that was great. And, yeah, I mean, Holtby, I mean, he looked solid. And I think something that I haven't really heard discussed a lot about, I'd love to hear you guys' take on it, is with the short and regular season, I honestly think that will benefit greatly a team like the Canucks, where with our roster, the way it's set up, you know, we're starting off with Miller not in the lineup, with a goaltending situation. I think the shortened season will really help us. And all the people, you know, from a certain part of the country, not going to say it, but they're all from Toronto, saying we're not going to make the playoffs. We're making the top four in the division. And I'm excited. Honestly, this is truly the turning of the guard. You think back to the, you know, teams of 3-4 years ago where we were in that weird phase where we had the Sedins. We had, you know, the older people, the Tanhams, the Edlers. You're seeing it now. This is the Canucks, you know, 2.0. You know, we're passing the torch. I'm excited. Great to hear you guys again, and I'll be talking to you a lot. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Stuart, and Happy New Year to you as well. A lot of good points from Stuart in that call. A lot of excitement, and you should be excited. Why should you not be excited about this team? It's not about anointing them as a Stanley Cup contender or a winner this season, Walks. It's about you have incredible high-end talent. You have some very talented veterans as well. No JT Miller, of course, at least not for the first few games of this season, but he's on this roster. You go through the list. Horvat, the captain. Pettersson. Hughes. Brock Besser. And then you see a kid like Nils Höglander step up like tonight, and he takes your breath away. Why should you not be excited about the potential of this team, not only this season, but long term?
We've talked about this a lot. There's steps between doing like being a team that can win a few games, or a team that can compete for the playoffs, or a team that can, you know, make the playoffs, a team that can win a round, or a team that can compete for the Stanley Cup. You know, it's fun to dwell on. We have this guy and we have this guy, but when you look at teams that are in the Stanley Cup final, you go through their roster and you're like, man, they get like 16 really good players. And we have like 4. Like, that's what it's felt like for a lot of years for the Canucks. And then all of a sudden, that number is getting bigger and bigger and bigger in the sense of, no, we have a lot of good players playing here in Vancouver. And all of a sudden, like, the expectation is to make the playoffs. And you just won a playoff round for the first time since 2011. And then in comes Nate Schmidt. And then in comes, hey, maybe there's something here with Nils Höglander. And before, like, a good player comes in and you're like, okay, this guy has to be great. Our first round pick has to be great because, like, we need a core. And we're screwed if Pettersson isn't great or if Quinn Hughes isn't great. And now it's like Höglander coming in as a second round pick. It's like, well, it almost feels like a bonus. It's like, this guy's good too. And we'll see. Long way to go, but what a start.
It's, you know, we were sitting here talking about, you know, temper expectations. You know, it's the first game for the kid. Let's see what he does. Let's not put the weight of the world on his shoulders. And it's like, good luck stopping the hype train now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you remember what it was like. I mean, Pettersson scored 10 goals in his first 10 games or whatever it was. Quinn Hughes was flying around. Brock Besser scored in his debut. And then the next year, might have been the top sniper in the NHL in the first half of the season before he went down with injury and All-Star game and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, you should temper your expectations, but like in the last few years, the hype has been so real, you know, for the Canucks and every guy, even beyond.
I mean, yeah. I'd say that Pettersson and Hughes exceeded the hype.
Oh, no question. Yeah, no question.
You know, and you know, that's what makes it as exciting as it is for fans to see Hoglander, and it's hard to maybe slow your roll, but an incredible performance from the kid, and I know a lot of fans are excited by him. Our phone boards, you can call in 604-280-0650 or toll free 1-888-275-0650. We have a lot of callers on hold. Let's go to Glenn in Victoria, who's been waiting. Glenn, thanks for hanging in there. What you got for us tonight after a 5-3 Canucks win over the Oilers?
Well, I got a couple of things. I'm pretty stoked about the win, not going to lie. I won $50, so that's always good.
Attaboy.
But, yeah, on the money line there. But, you know, one thing I wanted to mention is, like, Hoglander, for sure, amazing. Like, he looks like he's been skating for a while. He's ahead of the race. It looks like he's been skating. But Hamonic looks slow, like extremely slow. And, you know, I know he just got in there the other day and he's still getting his feet underneath him, but he definitely shows that he didn't have a training camp and he's been off for 10 months in comparison to where a guy who's been playing, you know, half a year comes in and just skating circles around everybody and Deacon and doing all the good things. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Glenn. And congrats on getting some of that money on the bet. But are you surprised, Andrew, that a guy who was not here for training camp has two skates and one morning skate couldn't keep up with McDavid and Dreisaitl in a regular season pace game?
Yeah, and maybe people are thinking I'm being too hard on Ylevi. I didn't love him tonight. That's fine. I'm not sending him down to Utica. And yeah, I didn't love Hamonic either, but in that case, I'm understanding. Like, he's not fleet of foot anyway, right? Travis Hamonic is not going to come in and take away minutes from your top defenseman. This guy is going to be, you know, number five on your depth chart at best. But yeah, he hasn't played at all. Like, he opted out last year, so he didn't play in the playoff bubble. He didn't have a training camp. He was a late PTO. It's amazing he even played tonight. And then, yeah, he got caught in a couple of situations where McDavid is bearing down on him. Listen, Duncan Keith doesn't handle McDavid when he bears down on him. So, yeah, listen, a bit of a tough night for Hamonic. There's a couple good moments. He picks up his first point as a Canuck, which is nice to get it out of the way, right? You don't want to be kind of sitting on a goose egg for 25 games to begin the season, which happens sometimes to some guys. But yeah, I would say if you're watching tonight, you're like, oh my God, Hamonic looks washed. Like he's gonna be better. He's a veteran guy. He's not a speedster, but he's barely played.
Yeah, we have to give him some time. But my question with him though is, he also struggled last year. He has shown some regression to his game. At some point, some guys just get outpaced by the league. They go from being top four guys to third pair guys to all of a sudden they can't keep up with the play yet.
For sure.
So yeah. The thing with Hamonic is, last year was a tough year for him. What is he? We don't quite know yet what he's going to be this season.
And also, there's this idea that, hey, man, this guy can step in for Tanev, and we don't know that yet. The other question is he going to be the best partner for Quinn Hughes? Now, Hughes is going to elevate the guy he plays with. You know, I think we know that. And you don't have, I mean, your pressure is just to be an outlet and get the puck back to Quinn Hughes and let him do his thing, which, you know, Tanev did a fairly good job of. So we have to determine, and Travis has to determine if Hamonic is the right partner there. Are we going to see more of, you know, Nate Schmidt with Quinn Hughes or more of Tyler Myers or whatever?
604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We're going to get back to a lot of your phone calls. We have to take a break here in a second, but walks. A lot of text flooding in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Let's get to a few of these before we get out as well. Adam Gaudette, what a goal. Good start for him. Aim High Driving School in Prince George.
Always love when Aim High Driving School weighs in. Thanks, guys. As he's texting in while driving.
That's great. Hey, probably tell Siri to do it. Nowadays,
that's
you can
true.
Do so. Yeah.
That's true. Dale and Maple Ridge in the text line, 650-650. Not enough love for Holtby other than Besser. He's your budget break and muffler first star. Hands down, that's from Dale. We're still waiting on budget break and muffler to advertise on this postgame show. But, yes, it gets lost because of the Horvat was great. Besser was great. Hoglander, obviously, with a huge game. But this game could have easily been 6-5 last goal wins. Holtby made some amazing saves at huge times. Huge times. And he didn't have a chance on the Nurse goal. He didn't have a chance on the Yamamoto goal. And he didn't have a chance on the Larson goal either. So I thought it was a really good night for Holtby.
Yeah, very solid. It kind of reminded me of when Ryan Miller was here in Vancouver.
Totally.
You know, like there was a bit of that to him, which is, hey, not spectacular, but above average, solid, a nice, solid, in-control presence from him. Final text here. Anyone here for the Quinn Hughes extra effort for the assist on Besser's first to go up 4-2? That play was just insane.
Yeah, on his rear end. I mean, little bit of bad luck for the Oilers because, yeah, you know, the puck was sitting there and two guys tried to clear it and everything moved but the puck. But for Quinn Hughes to see Besser behind everybody and get it to him, and then it was just easy money. You know, when a confident Brock with that much time, he's gonna score.
Yeah, and you're right about Brock being confident. We're going to hear from him. More of your phone calls and your text messages as the Canucks Central postgame show continues, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Sat Andrew on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. This is where you talk Canucks on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Held in by Horvat. Backhand pass in front. Pearson going to the goal, being hounded by Bear. Stopped by Koskinen. Rebound. They score. Nils Hoglander with his first NHL goal. And Vancouver takes a 2-1 lead in the final 3 minutes of the second period. The Canucks mob Hoglander.
Two-point night for the rookie. What a performance. Canucks win 5-3 over the Edmonton Oilers. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feed for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. Our feedback channels, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650 or hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. But of course, Wax, Hoglander is going to be the story of tonight.
Yeah, and so I'm not always up to speed on my Canucks Twitter or Reddit memes, but I saw someone use the hashtag Homelander today. Are we? I know it's weird because it sounds the same, but it's not the same. And technically, Homelander is a really bad villain on the Amazon show The Boys. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it. But is that a thing? Are we calling Hoglander Homelander?
Well,
is that a thing that's out there, or is it just someone that said that I saw the hashtag tonight?
Maybe this is the first I'm hearing about it. You mentioning it now to me, and I quickly searched it on Twitter, and I'm seeing a couple of things now. As far as they're both blonde, you know, good looking guys or whatever, good shape or whatever, good talented people. But you're right, that Homelander is not a very good person.
No, he's the worst. He's the worst. he's literally the worst.
Yeah, you can't.
But he is a superhero.
Yes.
Well, and
he has super talents.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll allow it. I'll allow it. I don't
let it percolate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm not shutting it down per se, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, you're intrigued. Let's see where they take this. We'll see if it's either a good thing or it kind of just fades into the ether and we never see it again.
Well, and to your point about how tonight's about Hoglander, now it's funny because in a lot of other years, and it just shows where the organization is, okay? In a lot of other years, don't care about the score, don't care about the playoff race, don't care about the win, anything like that. It's new kid came in, rookie came in, 2 points, unbelievable. They could lose 7-2, and no one cares. The organization has moved past that. Like, people are excited about Hoglander. But the story tonight was your stars were your stars, and you picked up a road win against a divisional opponent in regulation in a shortened season as you're trying to shut the rest of Canada up and get into the postseason. Mm-hmm. It's a huge 2 points. So that's the number one story. Hoglander is the second story, which is no insult to him. But if this was, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, nobody cares about the result. It's just, hey, can we have a young player do something for once? And this is a bonus. Like, everybody's happy about Hoglander, no doubt. But you're not as happy about Hoglander if you lose this game tonight. And that's where things have changed.
It's about winning more than anything. It's about him contributing to a winning team and a winning core, and him perhaps becoming part of that core, and an exciting core of that. I mean, we saw Bo Horvat score tonight. We saw Brock Besser score two massive goals with a snipe, and we're going to play some audio from Brock Besser, who met with the media after the Canucks beat the Oilers 5-3 tonight to open up the season in Edmonton. Quinn Hughes do his thing. Elias Pettersson with a couple of moments with flash. We saw Nate Schmidt provide something. And we have a tweet that came in directed at us, and I was just thinking about Nate Schmidt, and we kind of discussed this to some degree a bit earlier, how the Canucks defense has looked a lot better, a lot more mobile, getting the puck out quicker. The Canucks were faster in transition, and that's what Nate on Twitter asked us. Can you guys talk about how fast this team looks in transition? Hughes, Schmidt, 1-2 punch looks incredible. I'm out. Puck movement looked really good tonight. Schmidt played solid. Our puck movement looked good tonight.
The entire game, I mean, it's getting faster and faster, and the entire game, and we saw this in the playoffs, and it's why the Vancouver Canucks didn't go further than they did. It's all about puck retrieval, you know, getting back, getting the pucks, and moving it up to your forwards and letting them do their thing mm-hmm. with it. The Canucks, the last couple years, have done their best to exist with a defense core that about half or less than half the guys could actually do that as an effective level, and Quinn Hughes does it better than almost anyone in the NHL. They weren't perfect tonight. But that's such a bigger part of their game. Because Myers can do it, Quinn Hughes can do it, Nate Schmidt is great at it, and a rested Edler is good at it too, especially early in the season. Mm-hmm. And then as the season wears on, Edler kind of diminishes in that category. But when you have 3, 4, 5 guys that can do that effectively, yeah, it was noticeable. Their transition game, and this has been the struggle for this team, against really good structured teams. And not that Edmonton is one of those per se, but it's been a bit of a bugaboo for them. And a real good step in the right direction. And Nate Schmidt is going to be huge in that capacity.
There was a few plays he made, especially the one breakout / stretch pass he made to Bo Horvat when he got in on a good chance. And it kind of reminded me, Walks, of watching the Vegas Golden Knights and what he would do with Vegas and how quick they were in transition. That's more where the Canucks are trying to go, be a fast, deadly team in transition that moves the puck quickly north-south. And we saw a lot of that tonight. So I was impressed by how the Canucks moved the puck out of their own zone to answer Nate's question on Twitter. Lots of reaction to our text inbox, Dunbar Lumber, 650-650. But let's go back to the phone boards first, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Jake and Langley, you've been waiting on hold for a while. Thanks for hanging in there, pal. What you got for us tonight?
Hey, thanks for the Homelander spoiler, man. I'm only through the first 5 minutes of the first season, all right?
I didn't spoil anything. I just said he wasn't a good guy, and it's true. And you know that right away in that show.
Yeah, it won't take you long to figure that out.
Yeah.
No, they play it off at the very beginning.
Oh,
like,
that's
he's
right.
A good guy.
He's right.
All right, well, yeah, he's bad. There you go. There's the spoiler. Watch another 10 minutes and you'll learn.
This is the type of analysis you get from an NHL postgame show.
That's
from
true.
A fan here.
That's true.
Honestly, you know, I don't want to get too hyped with this Hoglander kid, but come on, man. Like, when Elias Pettersson came in, like, there was a lot of hype, and he showed up. But when Quinn Hughes came in, there was a lot of hype, and he showed up. You know, even with Bo Horvat, even though he didn't really skate that well, there was some good hype that time. And with this kid, like, it's not like it was a fluky goal. Like, he probably should have had an assist, too. I know, I guess maybe not, but, like, he was buzzing tonight. And so that was my first comment. And the second comment is, you know, Quinn Hughes, like, in theory, like, the first two periods, he wasn't even that good. Yet the third period, he absolutely dominated. And, like, it just goes to show how special that kid is. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, guys. And, by the way, great show. I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn Hughes is a point per game this year. I really wouldn't. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call, Jake. And enjoy the boys.
Yeah, although although here we are in like month 10 of COVID. If you, like, what have you been doing? I envy him. He hasn't exhausted every Netflix show in the world.
Yeah, man. I'm like rewatching Breaking Bad for the fifth time now. That tells you how. I mean, now that hockey's back, I mean, I won't be doing much of that anyways. But to his point, though, we have seen a lot of these young guys exceed expectations, right? And it is hard to temper them when you see what a guy like Hoglander did tonight, when he was as good as he was tonight. And it's going to be exciting for this team to see how they trend outwards. But I did notice, Wox, that this team did seem quite a bit faster tonight as opposed to what we've seen in the past. And to be honest, when they started off on a good start last year, they were also looking a bit quicker. But this time, and we had this conversation last season, early in the season, when they got off to a good start, and we talked about how they looked faster. But a big thing about it was they played faster because they were moving the puck quicker and trying to make up for their lack of speed with quick movement and quick transition. This team not only transitioned quicker tonight, they also looked faster on the ice.
Yeah, and it's not a team of burners, right? Like Hoglander is really quick, and he moves his feet, and it was really noticeable. And so he brings up their team speed. Nate Schmidt brings up their team speed. I thought Besser was moving better tonight than he has in a couple years. So when he's flying around, that helps as well. And you got to remember too that our last impression, I thought Bo skated really well tonight. Our last impression of this team was an exhausted group that were surviving against the very fast Vegas Golden Knights in Game 7. They did not look very fast in that series because they weren't. And a lot of that was because they had just slogged it out with six games against the big, heavy St. Louis Blues. You're not going to look real fast in that series either. They're not the fastest team in the league. They played the Blues and the Vegas Golden Knights in the playoffs this past year. They knew they had to address their speed a little bit. And yeah, they're not the fastest team in the NHL or anything like that, but their team speed definitely took a bump up. And if nothing else, like, he's not going to score every night, but if nothing else, I think that's the one thing that Hoglander can consistently do. Speed doesn't go into a slump.
No. And that adds to your team, especially in transition. But when your defense does improve and go up a notch, you move the puck a lot better out of your own zone as well. And you mentioned Edler. He played well. He did play 25 minutes tonight. That's something you don't want to be doing too much. And the part of that is Hamonic wasn't great tonight, right? And that's because he hasn't played a lot, but he's going to have to be a lot better. And at this point, you love you played 10 minutes. And does Travis trust him enough? So these are the things that have to happen. Hamonic has to get better. Ulevi has to get trusted more by playing better, or at least earning the coach's trust. And if that happens, it could reduce Edler's minutes. But at least for the first game, they didn't quite do that. In a back-to-back situation, tomorrow against Edmonton as well, it's not going to be easy. 604-280-0650, toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Details is back on the Canuck Central post-game show, calling in from Nanaimo. What is happening, Details? Long time no talk. How you doing, man?
I know what's happening. A lot of videos and photo shoots. I've been following Details on Instagram. So a lot of that going on.
Wox, I appreciate that, man. Before I hang up on you guys, I'm going to shamelessly plug something that just literally came out 96 minutes ago on Spotify, but that's not what the call was predominantly about. So I thought, first of all, I hope you guys had a great holidays, and I didn't really ghost you. I was just busy working and doing my thing, but I'm always got my ear to the street on you guys too. So
Happy New Year to you too, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man. Nils Hoglander, thought he looked great tonight. I think that in the grand scheme of things, we're going to learn a lot here in the next couple of weeks with this business of obviously Jordy Benn and JT Miller not being in the lineup. Miller, I think they said it tonight, it's not breaking news, the guy's the straw that stirs the drink. I think he's kind of the engine of the team. Even if Petey is the kind of offensive leader and Bo's our captain, I still think JT Miller is that cog. Right from the first days of watching him in Vic in training camp, like staying out afterwards with Quinn Hughes and tipping shots for like 35 minutes by himself. I think this is going to show us what we have outside of JT Miller in this team in the next four games. Because although we have a bunch of talent, like I say, I think he's our leader. Do you guys agree that maybe we get to see in the short term, I know they're fresh out of the gate, but we're going to see what this team looks like maybe without their heart, even though they got all the other parts to the engine.
Well, I thought it was a bit of a spin-off of what they did in the playoffs because, you know, JT Miller, who played great, was also basically playing with one arm for half of it, and there were some games, and they didn't have Toffoli, right? There were some games that they needed other guys to light the way, and Horvat was certainly one of those guys.
Matt, he was good tonight.
Yeah, and Pettersson and Hughes took their game to another level in the playoffs. I was really impressed that they won this game on the road with no Miller, that's for sure.
Totally.
But Hoglander was a big part of that, and I know a lot of people always get excited about, you know, any time that Jake gets a look-see in the top six. And
yeah, too bad that doesn't go in for him off the post.
Yeah, and he wasn't...
The builder effect was in.
And he wasn't bad tonight, but he didn't pop or anything.
Moment for him though. I don't know if I noticed him outside the hitting that post very much. So I mean that shows you right there.
Yeah, and I mean that's kind of Jake's game too, right? Like he floats around. He has speed when he wants to use it. Sometimes like some guys like Hoglander, you noticed every stride he took because he's just flying around. And I know that's what people want Jake to do, and it's not really his game, and it probably should be his game, but, you know, there we go down that rabbit hole again.
And that goal didn't go in off his butt. It wasn't a lucky goal. Like, that's a drive to the net, beat a defenseman that's played NHL games before and get your first goal as a pro. So, Besser looked great, you know, this, that, and the other. Just before I do sign off on you guys, I'll be a regular chatter with you guys, but I was busy making music while I've been kind of MIA from the radio, and, you know, the games have been off, so no reason to really be up pumping anything, but I made a project called Island Royalty. There's about 18 different vocalists from the island, male, female, rappers, singers, the whole nine. It literally dropped on Spotify at 9 p.m. Pacific. So if you follow me, which you do, Walks, I'll be dropping a promo for it right now at details250, and you can check out the new project. It really highlights the island, and yeah, of course, if you're like Walks and you want to keep an eye on me, I always appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys too.
Thanks for the phone call, Detail.
Which island is this?
Vancouver Island. Come on.
Okay, got it. Now I know.
Come on, Walk.
Well, I don't know. You got to be more specific, man.
If you're following me, you've seen that I have the tattooed crown logo tattooed, or the island logo tattooed on my neck with the crown on top of it. It's hard to miss. But, I live on Laskiti Island, bro. We're doing it big out here on Laskiti.
Attaboy. Could have been Maui or something. I don't know. Hey.
All right, boys. You guys have a good evening. We'll check in again soon.
Thanks, Details. Best of luck, man. Good luck with the album. That's Details in Nanaimo calling in. Very exciting. So, man, I guess he just doesn't know your sense of humor more
Who?
Than anything. Details, your sense
no,
of humor.
No, he was laughing.
He was laughing a bit. Yeah, I know, but he's like, you know.
What, do you think he's offended that I asked what island he was from? It's like Braveheart, man. This is my island.
Yeah, I'm not going to even bother trying to do the accent. All right,
don't do that. That's offensive.
not going there. 604-280-0650.
Don't be like Riccio, who just does any accent he wants any time, and somehow it's okay because he's Italian.
Riccio can do whatever he wants at any time, especially...
Remember when he came back from Jamaica?
Oh, man, he was like doing... He was like the...
He came back from Jamaica, and he was basically Michael Scott from The Office for 2 weeks.
He was.
Playing the steel drums.
We're going to go pop, pop, pop.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. All right. Thanks, Reach.
Yeah, it's like Harpsima on our text inbox, 650-650, who says... All caps, do the one chip challenge post game. Love you guys. Happy to have you all back. No, I am never doing the one chip challenge. Dan Riccio almost died on the radio. Like, it was bad. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and Riccio's a bit of a ham. He plays things up, but I think it was legit. I think his level of discomfort was quite real.
It was... I don't think he was faking that. You could see the terror in his eyes. You can always tell from the eyes. They're always the giveaway. And he looked scared.
And all the pictures later on where he's like posing and on Twitter and whatever, it looked like, I don't know, it looked like he had just like woken up with a really bad hangover. You know, he was kind of like disheveled. And it was from eating one potato chip. Or one corn chip, whatever it is.
Yeah, for those who have no idea what we're talking about, there is a... spicy tortilla chip that it might be the spiciest single chip in the world. And Dan Riccio lost a bet and had to eat the chip on air, and it was an absolute disaster.
Yeah, he struggled and was not feeling the hottest last night as well. 650-650, Get your text in if you want, the Dunbar Lumber text line. Good question. We were going to address, did you guys go with Demko or Holtby for the back-to-back? It's Demko, 100%. Yeah. You're not chasing that. You're not riding the hot hand early in the year. Holtby was great tonight and last night, or tomorrow. Going to be a tough one. Oilers are going to come hard. I think this is a theme, if you're a betting person, I think this is going to be a theme with all these double headers this year. I think you're going to see a lot of splits.
Mm-hmm.
And the onus goes on the team that loses the first game to really adjust and come back better in game two. Canucks are going to lose some openers and come back strong in game two. Canucks are going to look great in openers, and the other team's going to come back in game two. So tomorrow's going to be tough. And Holtby was great tonight, but tomorrow, you go with Demko tomorrow.
You got to go with Demko tomorrow. A lot more text flooding into our text inbox, 650, 650. Guys, it's January, and we are undefeated. We're winning the cup this year, confirmed.
That's never happened before.
Never happened.
Canucks have never been undefeated on January 14th.
Let's go back to the phone boards. Josh in Vancouver is on the line. Josh, thanks for calling in. You want to talk about Jake tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring back the conversation to Jake. I know we talked about it a little bit with the last caller. Because it's hard to replace JT Miller. Like, let's keep in mind that he also takes huge face-offs, which is the reason why our first line has a lot of possession time. But I honestly, for this night, a lot of it was that second line. I didn't notice a lot of pressure from our first line tonight. So, like, how would you guys go about that? Like, if you're the coach, what do you do at this point? With the first line, do you wait it out, see how it goes?
Thanks for the phone call, Josh. And, you know, I was kind of wondering if Travis would get away from that trio in the third period. And it really was Besserin and Pedersen with some magic in that third period anyway. So perhaps they do keep those three guys together. But, you know, Travis, at least, you know, to give him credit for this game tonight, I mean, he gave Jake every opportunity. He played him over 15 minutes. He let him be on that line for the entirety of the game. I would imagine, based on how those guys scored in the third, that he probably keeps them together to start tomorrow's game. But we know that's probably not going to stick for very long.
Well, yeah. I mean, a couple things. Number one, this isn't a team that's overly deep with top six forward options, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to see. I mean, you could give Tyler Mott a look-see up there if you wanted, but you're not playing McEwen up there, and you're not playing Sutter up there, and blah blah blah. But there's no JT Miller. You're not going to replace JT Miller, like you said in the pregame show. And I mean, put it this way, right? Like, I'm not going to be mad at Jake, because he wasn't great. He didn't do much, and I know people want him to do much. But it's almost like he's not a top-line winger,
yeah.
Right? So, like, he's not. He's not going to replace JT Miller. Like, boy, he didn't look as good as JT Miller. Yeah, like, no duh. JT Miller's an all-star. So, when I look at this, I think it's another example of the change in the status of the team. This used to be a conversation where all we'd be doing right now is debating the merits of Jake Virtanen on the first line or not. And some people slamming their fist down to be like, you need to give him more minutes with the big boys, and he needs to prove, and he needs to become this. No, he doesn't have to do anything. This team's trying to win games. And, you know, this isn't like, oh, it's the big audition for Jake Virtanen, and can he finally prove he's an elite player and score goals? No, no, no. Go up there. Do your best. Go up and down your wing. Don't screw it up. Right, try to support the guys that actually matter on this team, and that's Pedersen and Brock Besser, and let's try to win the game and wait it out until JT Miller gets back. Jake Virtanen is a third-line forward that, in a pinch, you can throw him up with the big boys because he can finish once in a while. Like, that's it. There's no next level here. There's no, oh, this is his chance. Like, that's not a conversation I want to have this year. We know who the top-line players are on this team. And we know who the second-line players are on this team. And we know who the third-line players are on this team. And Jake's with that crew. So I'm not going to be mad at Jake tonight for not scoring a bunch of goals. They won the game. He was all right. You know, he didn't make any big mistakes that cost the team goals. Like, that's all you're asking at this point.
The only thing at some point which gives, you know, credence to making a change is you need to have some controlled zone play as well, right? And that's the thing that really was impressive about the second line. To Josh's point who called in, the second line was the best line for the Canucks tonight. Horvat, Pearson, Hoglander, a lot of offensive zone time. They cycled the puck a lot. They kept the puck in that end. And that's what you need from your top line. Pedersen and Besser had moments of magic, not a lot of zone time. And that is something, you know, the Canucks will have to need tomorrow if they want to beat the Oilers. Thanks for listening on the Sportsnet Radio Network. More of the Canucks Central postgame show coming up, courtesy of Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Brock Besser and Ian McIntyre on Sportsnet 650.
Now, more of the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. Join the discussion. Text us at 650-650 or call us at 604-280-0650. This is the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, I'd like to correct you. I would say not necessarily. It's been on there, especially after my back injury, because that gave me a lot of problems after. It was a pretty bad injury. So, just kind of knowing my body now and knowing what I need to feel good. I'm feeling, like I said last time I talked to him, feeling confident, and I feel like my shot's back where it was my first year. And I think I've told you guys a lot. When I shoot, I think it feels my game, and it gives me confidence. So I think that's kind of where my head was at tonight, and it seemed to work out.
Brock Besser, after a two-goal performance, a snipe, which was very reminiscent of his rookie season, when he took the league by storm, all-star game MVP, sniping everything in sight. It looked a lot like that tonight when the Canucks beat the Edmonton Oilers 5-3 on the road to open up the season with a victory. Satyar Shah with Andrew Walker. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. 604-280-0650 is the number to call. 650-650 is our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We're going to be joined by Ian McIntyre coming up. But Walks, hearing Brock Besser talk about his shot, it was very evident how quickly he got that second goal off and what type of a snipe it was. And he also mentions confidence. He is a guy, and this is not news to anybody really, goal scorers can be streaky, and confidence plays such a big part into their streaks.
Absolutely. And we've seen a very confident Brock Besser. We all remember the first half of the 2017 season, and we've seen a Brock Besser not confident, right? There's been times where, like, is this guy ever going to score again, you know? And Travis Green said it. I don't know if he scores that second goal last year. Brock said it. He feels as comfortable as he has since the rookie season. And man, I'm not wrong all the time. Sometimes I get it right. And in the first intermission, the Canucks didn't have a ton of time in the power play tonight, but they're zipping the puck around, and it looked like Brock was a little hesitant towards shooting, and tried to go cross seam to Pedersen. It gets picked off, and in the intermission we talked about it. And about how Brock just needs to, he just needs to keep shooting, man. Like, that's his game.
Yeah.
Keep shooting. And what happened? He got off a couple of, thanks to Quinn Hughes on the first goal, but he got a couple of goal scorers' goals with a little time and sniped it in. And there you go. He wasn't looking to pass. He just put his head down and picked his spot.
And if he can keep that going, you mentioned this as well, that if he scores at a 30-35 goal pace, and he does that consistently now, I mean, you're talking about adding another element to this team. Because last year, he was good. I thought Brock last season was good. I defended him a lot, actually, about his overall game. He brought value to the team. But if he scores goals with his all-around game, it adds another dimension here.
Well, someone's got to produce. They need production.
Well, if he doesn't produce, and especially with Miller out, I mean, you are in a bit of trouble.
Yes, they needed production, and even in the postseason, Brock wasn't scoring every night, but guess who was? Pedersen and Horvat and JT Miller. Brock can play solid, and yeah, it's fine to defend him, but man, he's getting paid a lot of money. It's more than you're not gonna score every game, and it's important to have your all around game and your two way. And boy, it's not going in for me tonight. Can I take a page out of Pedersen's book and, do little things or wait for my time or play good defense or whatever? But that I thought that was the case too many times last year with Brock. Now, that's great that he can be a contributing player and play the all-around game and be solid defensively. He's a goal scorer. Like, at some point, he needs to produce offense. And there was a lot of stretches where, mm-hmm. you know, we really debated what his role is going to be on this team. And tonight's a great start, and everyone's going to be on his back if he's, you know, plays terribly and doesn't score tomorrow. I get it. But that was really good signs from Brock Besser tonight, because it's hard to score goals in this league. And it's the same with, like, you know, like, people debate Laine so much in Winnipeg, and he's a frustrating player, and sometimes he's not always engaged. But, man, not very many guys can just snipe at will, right? And Brock does have that in his game there somewhere.
He certainly does. And, you know, Brock did showcase that in his rookie season. And when you look at it, what happened tonight, I mean, you got two goals from Brock Besser. You also got a goal from Nils Höglander. And when you're getting that type of production, people have to step up. You mentioned somebody has to score the goals, and Höglander certainly did. We're going to get to Ian McIntyre coming up in a minute, who covered this game as well. But before we do, let's go and hear from the rookie goal scorer who did take Canucks fans by storm tonight with his performance in Edmonton. Here he is on his first NHL
Homelander.
Goal. Homelander.
I couldn't believe it when the pucks went in there. I just was in a moment, and yeah, I was happy to see the puck go in.
And overall, how did you feel about your game aside from the goal, and how do you feel you did in your first game in the NHL?
No, it feels good. I think we played a good game, me, Horvat, Pearson together, and yeah, it feels good.
Nils, you've twice scored the goal of the year in the SHL, and I'm wondering how that compares to scoring your first NHL goal.
It's so much bigger to score in the NHL. It's the best players in the league, and yeah, it's just fun to score.
Hey, Nils, it certainly wasn't a camp scrimmage or an exhibition game tonight. I'm just wondering when you felt comfortable tonight. You took some whacks early. You had a nice deflection in the slot. You won a nice board battle to get the puck to Bo for a scoring chance. When did you feel comfortable tonight?
As I said before, it feels good the whole game. Of course, I was nervous the first shifts, but that's was just the first shift, and keep going from that.
Hey, Nils, just wanted to ask, looking at that trio that you played with Horvat and Pearson out there, how did you think you guys kind of clicked today now that you finally got into NHL action?
No, it was a good game. I think those two players is really good NHL players, and it's easy to play with too. And I think the goal I scored was the work from Pearson, and I just put a puck in the net. So it's good players to play with.
Nils Höglander, after scoring a goal in his rookie debut with the Vancouver Canucks, a 5-3 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. Satya Shah with Andrew Walker. This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics on Sportsnet 650. Going to be joined by Ian McIntyre coming up in a second here. But, you know, Andrew, one of the other things about this game tonight, when I look at how this team is built and where they might go this season, it really comes down to the back end. Not a great performance, I thought, from Travis Hamonic, but to be expected. I know we talked about Olli Juolevi, only played 10 minutes. I saw a lot of good. He had some bad in it, too. It just tells you there's still an evaluation process here we have to go through with him to see where we get to. I really like what I saw from Nate Schmidt and the moments we saw from Quinn Hughes. And if this team can transition the puck this well and get these forwards, guys like Höglander, Brock Besser, in more offensive opportunities, that secondary scoring we talked about this year can be made up from the fact that you're transitioning the puck this much better and getting those chances up front.
And your ability to do that, and again, puck retrieval.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't lead to more, you know, balanced scoring, it's going to create a few more opportunities for the guys that need to score.
Yes.
And that was the big goal for Brock Besser tonight, the 5-3 goal that came off a really quick transition play by, well, Quinn Hughes. He's gonna make that, and he would have made it last year as well, but you're gonna see that more and more, and yeah, it's not like Schmidt took over the game tonight. Like, we're gonna see Nate Schmidt certainly pop in a few more games going forward, but he's gonna be huge in that aspect, and Boy, I thought Edler was really good tonight too.
Yeah, and he led all Canucks defensemen in ice time with 20 over 25 minutes of ice time. Let's MVP, and the MVP of the Canucks Central postgame show on many nights has been our triple threat. This late into the night, we get Ian McIntyre on the show. Not only does he say great soothing words on the radio, he writes them on digital, and he also speaks them into television all the time. What else do you want?
MVP is a stretch. Remember those SO medals? he'd get like most improved or like most sportsman like.
Hi, Ian.
Hello, fellas. It's so nice to be on with you again, especially when Walker is hosting the post game show.
Co-hosting
the post game show. I always think there's been some sort of what's the term? Force majeure that causes him to be at the station this late at night. Yeah. But
that's true. Oh man, we got nothing else to do, and that's not a cliche. It's literal. Nothing else to do.
Well, it's good night to be in the studio. A good night to be talking about the Canucks.
I'm at
home. What a game! A lot of talking points. You know, after a game. Because you mentioned my triple threat, and today I'm only a double threat because there's no television, so I'm not dressed very well and I haven't shaved. But the toughest thing I do in my job is this post-game writing on deadline, and it's tough no matter what. And right now, I don't know if you know this, I broke my wrist skydiving, so I'm down to one arm and finger. That's functionable. That doesn't sound very nice, does it? I have some very limited use of my left hand. So I was worried, since this is the season opener, whether I was in regular season form. Did I get enough reps at training camp? But the Canucks just wrote this for me tonight because there were so many talking points. So my column, and this isn't a shameless plug, but my column will be up soon. On Sportsnet, all done in about 45 minutes post game, so I could be available for you, fellas.
I felt like the lead is buried a little bit.
well, that wouldn't be new.
Yeah. Well, are you turning a phrase with "I broke my wrist skydiving," or did you actually break your wrist skydiving?
No, I broke my wrist, but it was not nearly as glamorous.
As
skydiving. I just roll through different scenarios. Bullfighting is one.
Right.
Bull riding. I don't know why, you know, this thing with bulls, but bull riding, bullfighting. Proximity flying, but I found that people don't know what that is.
So like gliding?
Yeah, that's gliding, but you wear a suit that looks like Elvis in Vegas, except except the legs are attached, so when you and the arms to the torso. So when you jump, you basically become a wing and you fly.
That's right.
It's incredibly dangerous.
Squirrel suit,
it blows your mind if you watch it. It's incredible, but it's also incredibly dangerous. So anyways, I rolled through a bunch of those. I fell. I'm old. I'm clumsy. I fell.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. So
They were impressed in ER. I got to say, they were impressed in ER that I could do the damage that I did by falling. Because they kept asking me, what happened? I fell.
It's like when you take a roughing penalty, like you may as well make it worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, don't take a chintzy roughing penalty, like, get it worth the 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, I got a metal rod in my wrist, so I'll let you know whether it's worth it. I'll be setting off metal detectors if we ever get to travel again.
You know what you could have done to save
time?
No,
but I'm curious what you think.
This is my segue. To save time, you could have just had the Quinn Hughes debut, the Brock Besser debut, the Elias Pettersson debut column, and just switch the name to Nils Höglander.
Yes.
Because this has kind of been a tradition. He popped tonight and produced.
He did, and I'm glad you mentioned all those guys because that's what struck me when the game was over. You know, watching the game, obviously the first two periods, you can't help but be impressed by Höglander. Because not only was he, you know, clearly comfortable and confident making plays, I think it was his second shift, he pulled the puck between his skates. The pass was slightly behind him on the rush. He just pulled it between his skates. I think it was Darnell Nurse was a defenseman. So you couldn't help but be impressed by what he was doing. But what struck me after the game was over is you think about how the Canucks kind of just, you know, they gave up the tying goal early in the 10 seconds into the third period, and then they just took over, and they just pulled away from the Oilers. And when you think about that third period, you know, it's Brock Besser and the way he shot, not just that he scored. And by the way, his first goals in 367 days, first regular season goals in 367 wow. days. But the way he scored them, you know, with those that shot,
yeah.
you know, the wrist shot is back. And then how did he score them? Well, Quinn Hughes set up one while he was had his back to him sitting on his ass, and I'm sure heard him calling for the puck. I don't think that was just a blind swipe at the puck. I think he probably heard Besser calling and gave it to him. And then the other one, which, you know, it happened so fast, I had to go back and look at it about three times to realize how incredible it was, that bank pass by Pettersson. You know, cross-ice bank pass in stride on the tape. And then, of course, Bo was great all game. And you start thinking about it. Okay, Besser and Pettersson and Hughes and Hoglander and Bo and Adam Gaudette scored in the third period too. And it was, to me, it's a reminder, yeah, the team, maybe it's going to be in the playoffs this year, maybe it's not. I think they're a good team. I think if they get goaltending like they did tonight, they're going to be a playoff team, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what happens this season, think about next year and the year after. And Pod Colson might show up at the end of this season, too. Maybe he can play as well. It seems everybody can play. You know, their mm-hmm. top guys, they've gotten it right. So it was kind of, to me, just a reaffirmation of the direction this team is going and how bright the future may be if they can keep these guys and keep getting better at their age, which they should, other than, you know, maybe Bo. But even with Bo, we always wonder if he's reached his ceiling and then he just blows through it again. Mm-hmm. So who knows what he'll do. But this team really is going to be a force to be reckoned with as these guys mature.
Well, and, you know, Ian, as far as this year's potential goes, I'm with you. I look at this team as being a playoff team, and a big reason for it is look at this high-level talent. And, you know, we were talking about this through the intermissions, and Andrew made a great point about, you know, the Lotto line, Besser and Pettersson at least, hadn't really gotten going in this game, hadn't really, you know, controlled play a lot. But he's like, all right, well, what players like this oftentimes do, especially guys like Pettersson, they find a moment to do something and rise to the moment and help you win a game and do something spectacular. And that's exactly what you saw from him. And when you look at a team like this that has that high degree of talent in these elite players and a goaltending tandem that has potential to be above average, as we saw from Holtby tonight, but the defense, more than anything, has improved. And we'll see what you levy long-term in Hamonic, but having Nate Schmidt and having Quinn Hughes be 1 year older and 1 year better, this defense clearly showed a lot better tonight.
Yeah, I've had trouble. I mean, I understand the loss in free agency. I think we all understand that. I'm having a little trouble understanding how almost dismissive some people are about the Canucks in this division. I mean, you see them on people's projections and rankings, whether it be just, you know, by eye and what you think, or whether it be analytics-based, you see them far more often out of the playoffs in the North Division than you do in the division, than in the playoffs. And I'm a little bit mystified by it, because if you break down the Canucks and look at who they lost and what has happened since, well, this defense is better. I mean, would you rather have Oscar Fantenberg or would you rather have Olli Juolevi? Now, maybe Juolevi is going to show he's not ready. He had a bad moment tonight, but he had a lot of good moments tonight for a guy who was playing his first ever regular season game. would you rather have Nate Schmidt or would you rather have Chris Tanev? And we all love Chris. I was here the day he arrived. I covered the last game he played for the Canucks. I'm really fond of the guy. He was, you know, terrific. As honest and dependable as he was on the ice, he was accountable and decent off the ice. But at this stage, Nate Schmidt offers you more. And then you have Hamonic or Stetcher. And, you know, Hamonic had a rougher game tonight than most of the Canucks did, but he also had two practices and no scrimmages at training camp to get ready. So we'll wait and see. But to me, there isn't a doubt in my mind that the defense is better. And then, so can the forward score enough? Well, now there's Hoglander. And I'm not saying he's better than Tyler Toffoli. Tyler Toffoli's been a good pro for a long time. But his offensive ceiling might actually be higher. He might score more one day than what Tyler Toffoli is scoring because he's, you know, just an offensive dynamo. That's what he looks like on the ice. So can the offense score enough? Yeah. Look at their forwards. They can score enough. So then, again, it always comes back to what happens in goal. And that's why I say if they get solid goaltending, I don't think it has to be spectacular. I think they're going to be a playoff team. And, of course, we're not factoring in injuries. We're not taking into account, you know, COVID outbreaks if they go 3 weeks missing eight players or something. But all things being equal, I don't really understand why they're so lowly regarded. And, it's a competitive division. There may not be a Stanley Cup winner who comes out of this division, but there's good teams in this division and competitive teams. And they all have great players, which is part of what makes it so intriguing as well, is that if you're not seeing, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl one night, you could be seeing, you know, Matthews, Marner another. You could be seeing Scheifele and Laine, or you see Giordano and Tkachuk. I mean, it's just such a compelling division. But, I mean, the Canucks, I think they're better than at least three teams. Don't ask me which three, but I think the Canucks will be a playoff team if they get solid goaltending.
Yeah, you're right. It's been interesting to watch, you know, different outlets of national media and even just random people on social media make their predictions. We all make our predictions, and most people have the Canucks outside of the playoffs, and some have them, you know, sixth or seventh in the division. And it does beg the question, why? Because this is a team on the rise with good young star players who just went further than any team did in the postseason. So why the lack of faith? And I think a lot of it just has to do with this idea. And the market doesn't help, right? Because this is a market that every turn, you know, they want to burn effigies of right. Jim Benning for
how could they give up Frank Corrado?
Sure, for everything, right? And it's not necessarily about they lost to Foley, but before that they lost Tyler Madden and everything gets blown up. And so there's this idea floating around that the Canucks just had this awful apocalyptic offseason. You don't have to love every move, but it's just not true.
Yeah. Well, the Schmidt deal, and I wrote this at the time, could actually turn into one of the great trades in Canucks history, because they gave up basically nothing for a first pairing guy. And Nate Schmidt is not a jaw dropping defenseman. I think we should all know that. This isn't a guy who's going to put up 55 points or scored, you know, 18 goals, but he's very good and is better than anybody they had other than Quinn Hughes. Like, he's better than anybody they had last year behind Quinn Hughes, and they gave up nothing to get him. And yet, you know, from that weekend, it was, you couldn't get past, and myself included, you couldn't get past that the Canucks went 0-4 on their own free agents. But they did get a pretty good guy in Schmidt. if Holtby gives them goaltending like he did tonight, he might be one and done in Vancouver, because he'd look pretty good as an expansion goalie with a year left at 4.3 and without trade restrictions. He'd be a pretty good pickup. But, you know, we'll see. They got 55 games to go, but tonight there was an awful lot to like. And they also won the game without being anywhere near their best.
Yeah.
Right? Had lots of mistakes. That was as quiet as we'll see Pettersson over a couple of periods as what we saw in the first two. And understandably, you know, no JT Miller. And Jake is a good NHL player, but he's not a first-line player. Not yet. Not now. I just think there's an awful lot to like, but you know, I stand to be proven wrong. I grew up here, so believe me, I understand failure,
right,
for the hockey team. Mm-hmm. I just don't think this hockey team is going to fail to the level that some people think it's going to.
No, I'm with you on that, Ian. Totally. And you know, honestly, Wax and I talking about this team heading into the season, we're never as down on this club as somewhere, and it's outside of this market as well, right? But you know what? We'll have a lot of time to discuss this as the season goes on. Hopefully, we'll have you back on the show tomorrow. Canucks do take on the Edmonton Oilers again. A lot of these back-to-back games in the North Canadian Division this season. So, Ian, make sure to go read Ian's work. It's latest up on sportsnet.ca, and you can listen to him on Sportsnet 650 on the regular.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. I'll try not to waste 5 minutes talking about my wrist.
Yeah, try not to fall on your way to bed.
We're probably going to have like a really dull 1-0 game tomorrow and not much to talk about. And I've wasted the great post-game time tonight on my wrist. But
well, really quickly, it's just a thought. In baseball, we don't see as many doubleheaders as we used to. But generally speaking, a team will win the first game and they lose the second. Like, doubleheaders get split like 80% of the time. I wonder if that's a theme we're going to see with all these back-to-backs, right? Like, you know the Oilers are going to be better next game, so how do the Canucks adjust and vice versa?
Yeah, but here's where it's nice to have Thatcher Demko as well, because if Edmonton is going to their backup, I think that's advantage Canucks to start with.
Yeah, Mike Smith, if he goes in net, that could be a big issue for that team. Ian, always a pleasure, my friend. Be careful getting home tonight. I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow.
Yeah, walk
through. All right. Talk soon.
Talk soon.
If you were a horse, we'd shoot you.
Wait, what? He just hung up.
Falling and breaking all his bones. I'm joking. We would take you to a field and let you roam. That's what we do.
Yeah, we'll let you roam.
I don't need PETA on my back.
We just leave you there and let you roam. Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. You walk it off. You'll be fine. Put some Robitussin on it. Yeah. It'll be okay.
Rub some dirt on it.
It'll be fine. All right, this brings us to the end of the show. It's been a lot of fun. We look forward to being back on the air tomorrow. Canucks take on the Edmonton Oilers again. 4 p.m., the pregame show gets going with Walks and myself, and then 6 p.m. puck drop, Vancouver Canucks, Edmonton Oilers, Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch with the call. Coming up at 5:30 tomorrow morning, the starting lineup, James Cebulski with Corey Perry. Corey Perry.
All right. Shut her down.
Perry Sulkowski.
Corey Perry. What a signing. I knew he was on waivers. I didn't know we picked him up.
I don't even know how I said Corey. Yeah.
Man,
Sulkowski. Yeah.
We couldn't go to 3 a.m. tonight if we wanted to. We're out of shape. We're out of post game shape.
Yeah, I gotta get back. I gotta get back into a groove again. But, see, we had no preseason. At least during the return to play, we had an exhibition game.
That is true. But keep in mind, it's not like we haven't been on the radio since for 101 days. We do a show every day at 4 to 7, if you're just hearing right now, you want more of this gold, listen to our show, 4 to 7. It's the program with us and Bick Nazar. And tomorrow, yeah, we'll have the pregame show beginning at 4, puck drop at 6 on your home of the Canucks. And Sportsnet 650 all day it's a great radio station the day after a Canucks win. And they're 1-0 after a big win. So tune in for the hype tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be talking lots of Canucks all day, all week, all season. Also, special thanks to Josh Elliott-Wolf, Roger Shergrill, producing his show tonight, and we look forward to chatting with you again. This has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650.